I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. This is a classic scripture on the matter and fact of our Lord's resurrection. It is full and complete, as we shall see, in these four great truths. First of all, the resurrection in relation to the gospel. The apostle's first word is a declaration of the gospel. Salvation, because Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, proof of his death. But his resurrection is the crown of his whole redeeming work. This too was according to the Scriptures. His resurrection ratifies and confirms the fact that he died indeed for our sins. It is proof that redemption was accomplished by our Lord's death. And the apostle lists all who saw him in resurrection life in 10 instances and in different places. If there was no resurrection, then he says, Christ be not risen. Our preaching is vain. Your faith is also vain. We are found false witnesses. Ye are yet in your sins. They which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Verses 13 to 18. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Verse 20. Christ the first fruits. The reality of the feast of first fruits in Leviticus 23, 10 and 11. At which only one sheaf was cut and taken into the temple before God, and cut, be it remembered, not on the Jewish Sabbath, but on the eighth day. Only one sheaf, and Christ, that one sheaf. Christ the first fruits. So that is the resurrection in relation to the gospel. Now look at the resurrection in relation to the kingdom. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even to the Father. Verse 24. This is great prophetic insight. It speaks of the end of the present order, the consummation of this present age. And that will accomplish the finality of our Lord's redeeming work, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, and when all his enemies shall be put under his feet and death itself destroyed, all things will be restored to the rule of God, and this will be for the Father's glory. This explains our Lord's title of the Everlasting Father in Isaiah 9, and verse 6, that is, not the Father of the redeemed, but the Father of the ages. This also makes foolish the Mormon doctrine of baptizing for the dead, as though by this ritual they can save those who died in their sins. Baptism is not a ticket for heaven. Baptism has nothing to do with heaven, but a confession here on earth, and a testimony to our having entered the Lord's kingdom through faith in him. The apostle is saying, why baptize for the dead if there is no resurrection, which some were denying? Why be baptized as an identification with Christ in his death, if we are to remain in death? That is his point. Then, in the third place, we see the resurrection in relation to natural law. Here in verses 35 and to 49, the apostle answers those who ask, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? He begins his answer with, thou fool. That is, it is foolish to so inquire. For one only has to look at the everyday operation in nature. A person sows grain that it might die. Without that death, there could be no harvest. What springs out of that which dies is a new body. It comes forth in a new form and a new fashion. The essential life principle was not lost when the exterior shell died away. So with the resurrection of our bodies. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. The body we derived from Adam was simply made of the dust of the earth. Genesis 2:7. That is the natural body. But afterward that which is spiritual. 1 Corinthians 15:46. It is something far, far better. And something far, far more suitable for the heavenly realm and of more enduring substance. That is our resurrection in relation to natural law. Then finally, we have the resurrection in relation to immortality. We see this in verses 50 to 57 of this wonderful chapter. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. But we shall all be changed. Verse 51. There are some who will be alive in that day when the Lord comes for his own. But these will undergo a like change as those whose bodies are to rise from death. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The sound of the trumpet is a military term. It is the call to march. We are to move to another abode and need our resurrection bodies for that new abode. This is the final triumph over death. Death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 54. And having declared that the sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law, the apostle cries in glad triumphant praise, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 57. What a deliverance. The result of such contemplation is that we are to turn to the work of the Lord with new purpose of heart and new energy. Every shadow has been dispelled. Every enemy has been overcome. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Verse 58. Hear the words of Mr. Christian F. Gellert, translated by Francis Cox. Jesus lives, thy terrors now. Can, O death, no more appall us. Jesus lives, by this we know. Thou, O grave, canst not enthrall us. Hallelujah. Jesus lives, henceforth is death, but the gate of life immortal. This shall calm our trembling breath when we pass its gloomy portal. Hallelujah. Jesus lives, to him the throne, over all the world is given. May we go where he has gone, rest and reign with him in heaven. Hallelujah. Beautiful words. Amen. And amen.